This recording, England 41, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal would be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect it to see a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was a strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much," but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought that it was a fair price for a cure. "I was born in a country marketplace called Andover, a little two-bed, two-up, two-down cottage, looking out onto the recreation ground. We had a very small garden at the back. We kept chickens at the top of the garden. I used to feed the hens and collect the eggs when I came home from school. I had a very happy childhood. There were 9 of us in the family, but by the time I was growing up, most of them had left home. But we were all happy together. I mainly grew up with my sisters, Sadie and Joan. We all stuck together playing games in the rec. We were all so happy. There wasn't much room in the small house. But then in 1935, we moved down to a bigger house just down the road, which was a big Georgian house, big enough for every one of us. And we all played very happily. We had a big garden. Dad had a big allotment. We had a big shed that we used to play games in during the school holidays. We used to have picnics up there. And there was always the recreation ground to play games in. There was a nice bandstand there. We used to sit there on a Sunday afternoon, take sandwiches and a bottle of lemonade, and listen to the band. We used to play tennis, play little golf matches. The ice cream man used to wheel his barrow up to the side of the rack. We all used to go over and get ice creams for ourselves. Well, Dad served his apprenticeship at Beale's, the carpenters. He used to go out to all the big country houses of the rich people all round. No transport in those days. He used to put his tools in the bag, get on his bike, maybe cycle 5-6 miles to a country house. Most of the rich families all around in their manor houses. And then I used to go to the carpenter's shop where he worked and used to watch him at work now and again. I remember he used to make coffins. He was in charge of the undertaking side of the business.